This podcast is supported by Midi Health. Are you in midlife, feeling dismissed, unheard, or just plain tired of the old healthcare system? You're not alone. In fact, even today, 75% of women seeking care for menopause and perimenopause issues are left entirely untreated. But it's time for a change. It's time for Midi. Midi's not just a healthcare provider. It's a women's telehealth clinic founded and supported by world-class leaders in women's health. Their clinicians provide one-on-one, face-to-face consultations where they truly listen to your unique needs. They offer a full range of holistic, data-driven solutions that isn't one-size-fits-all care. This is care uniquely tailored for you. At Midi, you will find that their mission is clear: to help all women thrive in midlife, giving them access to the healthcare they deserve. Because they believe midlife isn't the middle at all. It is the beginning of your second act. Ready to feel your best and write your second act script? Visit joinmidi.com today to book your personalized insurance-covered virtual visit. That's joinmidi.com. Midi, the care women deserve.
The Survivor Specialists are back, and today we are covering the first episode of The Road to 50. We are talking about If It Smells Like a Rat, Give It Cheese, episode 13 of season 16, Eric infamously giving up his necklace. Cerise defining episode, her true defining episode. We did a defining episode about Cerise, and we talked about her first episode in Panama where she gets the 3-2-1 vote. But this is really her defining episode. But the rules for defining episodes were has to be from their first season. So that's what we went with. But we're going to talk about this, talk about why we think Survivor started here, what we think about these 50 or these 10 episodes that they're doing anyway. McKenna and I will be doing these episodes almost every night. McKenna's going to be on most of them. I don't know when Blake's going to be here, when Blake's not. On nights where we do have other stuff going on, such as Wednesday when we got the hot takes draft, we're going to be doing the episode recap thing, slay everybody, trust no one. We're doing that after the hot takes draft. So we're not going to move other stuff out of the way. But we are going to make sure that we get in here and talk about each of these and their importance in Survivor history and what we think it means for 50 and, you know, just the excitement that they're trying to build. And as you sit there and you look at this jury, you just say, man, how did they not call James? How did they not call Eliza? And then you look at the people playing, you're like, how did they not get Amanda? How did they not get Natalie Bolton to ever come back again? Man, I love this episode. This episode is so much fun. So if it smells like rat, give it cheese. Blake, you've been in a goofy, silly goose mood. So why don't you say something.
How much of this is hormones? Now that I know more about my life as a male that made it from, I think I was maybe 15, 16 when this first originally happened. And now looking at it back 36, you're like, damn, that is a hard place. And they don't waste a minute. I think they literally say Eric is naive in the first 90 seconds of the episode. And if you thought like all of this decision making went after he won immunity, it's laid so thick from minute one to minute 50 of this episode of like he is toast, he is empanadas, he is whatever kind of burnt bread is in your culture. That's what Eric is for you guys right now. Brown rice, I don't know. It is something where you're like, Eric. It sucks that this moment is on TV forever because I think he became smarter. I think he grew out of this. There's a difference between naive and like having your reality warped on top of you. And I think it was a little bit of A and a little bit of B of like, this only does happen to probably 1.5% of Survivor players ever. And I'm glad it did because this is still good. 15 years later, 20 years later, 25 years later, when we watch it again, 10 seasons from now for 60, we'll be like, damn, that was still good.
My favorite part about it is who would fall for that? And like Jason, Ozzy, Eric, like
Eric just has to be added to that trio. That was like so beautiful. Just to give Parvati a little bit of credit.
Pretty much the only thing she says in this episode.
Exactly. And like, oh my gosh, Exile is great. But this episode and even the one before it are just two really solid episodes of Survivor. So when I was watching the previously on, when it was doing, like, talking about the Alexis boot, I was like, man, that's also a great episode of Survivor. So to be watching this episode and taking a break from 41 and 42, it was very refreshing to watch this version of Survivor again, and with one of the best seasons.
Yeah, I mean, I got a break from watching Missy Payne, so that was good. Needed that. Look at Blake shaking his head already. You know what's great about this is, obviously, a lot of people thought that we'd get their marooning for this series. A lot of people thought that we might get an episode from All Stars. I think what they're really trying to do, based on the episodes that they did pick, is they really are trying to find the episodes that best highlight the people on the show for 50. The marooning, Jenna Lewis is barely in that episode.
Right.
Right. In All Stars, you'd be going really early with a Colby episode or a Jenna episode, because Boston Rob and Amber are running the second half of that game. Like, Jenna's fun in that season, but she's not doing enough. And so I feel like for this one, they're like, look, Ceree's the most popular player maybe in the history of the show. You got Boston Rob, you got Tony, you got Rupert, you got Parv, but Ceree is the most popular non-winner in the history of the show. We can really highlight her. Let's find a way to do it. And what better episode than this one? Because every time I watch this episode, like, everybody knows, I think Parvati is so overrated. I have her as the fifth best player of all time, so I'm just a hater nonstop. The thing is, when I watch this episode, though, I'm like, oh my God, this is Ceree. And it is Amanda. And this made me sit here and be like, man, I wish that they would have called Amanda and, like, really called her back again and been like, who do we need to remove from the cast to ensure you're on this season? What days do we have to film so that you will be on? Because I'm always like, I always think Amanda's maybe a little overrated, but watching her in this episode coming off of the idol play to get rid of Alexis, it's just like, man, it's so good. And so you're getting Amanda, but it really is the Ceree show. She's the one who comes up with the idea. She's the one who's leaning into Natalie on the beach. She's the one who's leaning into Eric under the tent or under the shelter. Like, Ceree. And it just shows her brilliance and how far ahead of everybody else she was. And the best player doesn't always win Survivor.
Yeah, she basically just was like, all right, here's the plan. These are the marching orders. Go do them. And everything just fell into place magically. Mm-hmm.
And it's a great episode for Ozzy of looking good on that jury, where he'll probably be on the jury for 50 too, you know?
good. He's probably early jury. You're right.
Blake. I think one thing that blows my mind, that I was trying to be like, live in the moment, enjoy it. Jeff says something as Eric, he literally runs out. He's like, I hate this place. I think there's a couple quotes that I'm remembering as they're happening live. Like Natalie's voting confessional, beat him with the, like, it's all right there, but it's so funny. He's like, you guys drive me crazy or whatever, and runs out. And I was like, I don't think there's ever been a more smiley final four, maybe even final three, final five, like end game, where people voted someone out and are smiling ear to ear. Everyone is happy. There's not even like a, oh, my game's maybe over. Like, Natalie's not in that mindset of like, maybe I'm going at four. Ceree thinks she's probably won the game at that point. So everyone is smiling so much, where that's the screen grab that we've shared 5,000 times. And that moment of jubilation, I don't think has appear at all.
Maybe I mean, think about the jury. Has there ever been a bigger jury reaction? James with the fist pump. And
I mean, if they weren't thinking about voting out Eric, they probably were like, in what world? Eric goes first, and they're like, okay, we're on board with Eric. Let's vote out Amanda. And then all the people are like, this is amazing. And they're just like, oh, wait, maybe we should vote out Eric.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that Eric didn't look at the jury as he was, like, handing the immunity necklace, being like, I'm not the dumbest survivor ever anymore. Like, the fact that he didn't see, like, oh, all right, so that reaction is happening. Never mind.
Yeah.
Or we're just going to vote someone else out today.
Let's ask this question. Could Eric have won this season? Like, Blake, I know you and I talked about this on the Patreon, but like, do you think Eric could have won this season if he doesn't do this? Like, he would have probably had to win four immunities, get to the end, maybe sit at a final two against Amanda, which, you know, kind of feels like a lock sometimes. like, is there any shot that Eric could have won?
I don't think so, in my opinion. I think you, if Amanda wasn't there, possibly, because then Ozzy doesn't vote for Amanda and Ozzy champions the physical guy. But you have Amanda, you have Parvati, Ceree, Natalie, and probably Alexis still all voting for Amanda. And then James, is he going to separate from Amanda? Probably not.
Because what I always find fascinating about this episode, this is like a masterclass in telling a story that isn't necessarily true, but then it starts to become true. And that story is, Eric, you have no shot of winning. That jury doesn't like you. And Eric coming into the episode is like, I just got to keep winning and then I'll get there and I'll have a shot. And then by like midway point of the episode, he's saying to himself, I don't see any likable faces over on that jury. And you're just like,
the manipulation this guy goes through this episode is just mind boggling.
And it's like, if you win, he would have won final six, final five, final four, final three. That's the only way he gets.
These were not close wins either.
He was killing them.
Yeah.
Killing them. So if Eric is sitting at final two, he wins four immunities. He's the fan who overtook everybody. His back was against the wall. He found a way, whatever. But I feel like everybody just gets so caught up in it that even as fans, we're like, yeah, Eric probably wasn't going to win anyway. But I do feel like Eric had a shot because the storyline was there. But these women just tell the story in a way that makes so much sense of you're too wishy-washy. You're too sketchy. Mm-hmm. Nobody really cared about that stuff. None of that mattered. It was just all part of the manipulation. And it's like one of the greatest lies ever told. I mean, everybody always talks about fair plays, but I think this is the second best lie in Survivor history, which is, Eric, you have no shot, so you have to give it up. Everybody's going to be so disgusted with you. I don't think anybody was disgusted by Eric.
No, I think it's definitely the tribal councils that could form the jury's opinions on Eric. Plus, you have the girls in those tribal councils being like, totally, nope. And then so if he gets to the end, depending on who he's with, I don't know. Maybe Natalie is where he pulls it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Natalie was not really that well liked by the jury. They didn't really see her as a player.
Unfortunately, I think one thing that we've gotten a lot of is Eric on Reddit. I think Eric has been all over the place for years now. And it's not, we're not better than him. We're not worse than him. Like, what I'm trying to say is he's very much a person who's like, God, it sucks to see this. And it also sucks that the next time I play this, my body shuts down. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing that he has learned is like, he's like, we were talking about Gabriel Cade on Reddit, where it was like, when it's like, he's really good at social, but awful at strategy. And I think Eric is really good at being a fun person to be around on the island. And he's really good at challenges, but I don't think Eric knows an end game. And maybe he knows Survivor, but I don't think he knows an end game and perceptions around himself. And so, just like he got at Final Five, where they're like, we can convince you to give up your thing, your immunity necklace, and it's the most important thing. I think whoever he would get to with Final Two could very succinctly say at that breakfast, I have this on the log, good luck. Or like, are you nervous tonight? Because I think you should be. And like 1.5 comments like that, Eric's in a rough headspace for a final. Like, I think there's been some of my favorite Survivor players where I'm like, I can't wait to see them do the final tribal council, and they're so bad at it where you're like, oh, you weren't gonna win against anybody. And I think Eric gets
Amanda second, is that
Eric gets second place unless somehow Amanda, I feel like Amanda would be confident against Eric because she has all those talking points from this final five.
And Eric clearly gets flustered when talked to at either tribal council or the final tribal council. So being there with Amanda, I think Amanda's not great final tribal council-ness would overpower Eric's, or like vice versa, Eric's inability to like overcome
Eric was really young here, and obviously we've had Eric on the podcast a bunch of times.
I love Eric.
You know, Eric's like one of the really good guys in this community. And, you know, for those Dabu of you Doodles. Don't know, Dabu Doodles, exactly. People don't realize that's him. It's Dabu Doodles. But so when I look at Eric and like how he plays, Eric is not somebody who likes confrontation. He tries to avoid confrontation. On this season, the biggest confrontation he has before this is when he has to get rid of Amy Cusack. And he does not like being in that position. You can see that he's uncomfortable with it. And so when the women are coming at him like that, he doesn't really know how to take it because he is at kind of that transitional point in his life. He wants to be well-liked. He wants to be the good guy. And it makes him naive. I mean, Amanda says it in those words in this episode. Eric is so naive. And like everybody likes Eric. And that's why I think he still could have won the show. But if you put a little heat on him, especially at that point in his life, there was just nothing that was going to come out of that in a positive way for him. He would have been pushed over. But I don't think Natalie could have made the argument against him because I don't think anybody saw Natalie doing anything. And if you really think about it, if he gets to the end against Natalie and Natalie doesn't have this moment, what does Natalie have? Natalie didn't do anything the entire game.
He also said in this episode that people keep coming to him with what's the vote? Because he has immunity. And he's like, I'm not
ice cream guy.
Wait, no, Blake.
He's an ice cream boy turning into an ice cream man.
Being an ice cream man instead of an ice cream boy is the quote from Eric in the episode. It's just incredible. Incredible. That's what he says to Amanda at the reward. And he does everything wrong in this episode, right? Mm-hmm. It shows how good Amanda was too and why Amanda should have been on 50. Is you're watching... Okay, Natalie, you want to do this? Yeah, I'll take you. So we got to make sure either you go to Redemption or you go to Exile Island so you can get the idol, or you're going to come with me on the reward. And then what does he do? Neither of those. He sends Parvati to Exile and he takes Amanda with him. And it's just mistake after mistake after mistake. And people always talk about, like, this happens a lot with Vanuatu and Chris, where people are like, well, whoever's the last man standing was going to do it. You have to take advantage of the moments that you have, right? There's a lot of people who would have seen Eric do that, and they would have been on the beach with Natalie, and Natalie would have been complaining. They would have been like, yeah, Natalie, I know it's annoying, but don't worry about it. This, that, whatever. Ceree's just like, oh, here it is. Here's the opportunity. Let's go. And I think Ceree is probably one of the best players ever at taking advantage of every single opportunity that pops up during her moments. Like, she always finds a way to say, oh, I'm sensing a weakness. Let me go capitalize on that.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I want to say, watching Ceree do this, it does suck that her magnum opus is a different show of like
that she wins. Yeah.
Yeah. I, as a Ceree super fan, I watched that Big Brother season. As a Ceree super fan, I watched, it wasn't the best season of the Traitors, but it's something where I've always wanted her to win. She had it here, I think. I think she is the biggest fish, if we want to use episode one, Star Wars, of Eric is the minnow that gets eaten by Natalie, that gets eaten by Amanda, that gets eaten by Parvati, and Ceree's the biggest one, but Ceree
there's
doesn't
always
make
a
it.
Bigger fish, really. That's where we're going with Phantom there's Menace. Always a big... There's always a bigger fish. Qui-Gon Jinn.
Ceree is that fish. It sucks that her fishbowl that she got was the Traitors.
But yeah. that's her win, but like her legacy is through Survivor. And I think her best strategic moments and what people remember her for are Survivor, the 3-2-1, the Black Widow Brigade and all that. So like, yes, she won this other show, but I think her strategy and her skills in Survivor outweigh the Traitors win.
Yeah. Go ahead, Blake.
And she's like getting second place so far in this immunity challenge. If Eric wasn't there,
yeah,
she wins immunity at final five.
I feel like it's a bummer. I get what you're saying, Blake. I think what's stupid about just reality TV community as a whole at this point is people have gotten to the point where like, well, Parvati did better than Tony on the Traitors, so Parvati's a better Survivor player than Tony. Like, it's like every show is their own thing. Like Ceree played the Traitors on the season that was half newbies, half returning. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, whoa, Ceree, that was the greatest thing ever. Like, good for Ceree for getting her win. But when you talk about it in terms of Survivor, there's a reason she's the best player to never win. And that is that there were too many injuries on this season. Carvey and Amanda were down to go to a legitimate final three with Saria. I think that's one thing that gets really overlooked
right.
in this season. They were willing to go there. It ended up working out that it became a final two, but Parvati and Amanda voted out Natalie knowing that it still could have been a final three. And they were okay with that. And they were okay with sitting next to Ceri. And if Ceri sits there, Ceri wins. Sorry, Parv stands. Ceri wins. It's over. Like, she wins. And not so I do feel like that's the bummer here, is that this isn't Ceri's winning game. That Parvati's winning game isn't heroes versus villains. And that's where you get your two wins there. And then who knows how Survivor looks different. But because Ceri goes out here, it's just a constant question of what could have been for Ceri. And I mean, to me, like, the game that she plays on this season, because she gets third place, there's nothing else she could do. The game that she plays on this season is a top five game in the history of the show. Like, in my opinion, I think Ceri's game here is a top five game in the history of the show. Parvati ultimately benefits from it the most because she gets the win. Parvati goes on and plays a better game in Heroes versus Villains, though I've talked about on the Patreon why I do think that Parvati's game in Heroes versus Villains gets too much credit. Although I do think she plays better than she does here. But like, when you talk about who would be the most satisfying, it's like Rob Cesternino is a more satisfying winner than Jenna Maraska. I know a lot of people now say Parv is such a satisfying winner. At the time, Ceri needed to, like, Ceri winning that season is the better win. But I just feel like, you know, that's what the beauty of Survivor is. Like, you can play a perfect game.
I mean,
and still lose.
Ceri was one fire making challenge away from winning Panama too.
She still has to beat. Well, Aris would have won, and Aris takes Ceri. You think Aris takes Ceri over Terry?
100%, because Aris wants the satisfaction in voting Terry out, and vice versa, Terry wants the satisfaction in voting Aris out. I think they both take Ceri.
That's so crazy.
Ceri's won like five seasons of Survivor. She's only played crazy. Four times.
She didn't get voted out in, or quote unquote voted out in Game Changers. Who knows?
I know. And she gets idled out by Tom Westman. I mean, if it's not for Tom Westman's idol out and JT flipping, and this man right here, I have the TV Guide magazine here for anybody who's looking. This man right here getting everybody excited to vote out Ceri Fields. I'm pointing at Colby Donaldson. Yeah, it's a total, who knows? Who knows what happens on Heroes versus Villains? But yeah, I think that, I mean, if you're going to start off, what is it? St. Cliffo said it here. Why show this episode of your CVS? How does anything on 50 touch this? Because this, so I don't know if anybody watched this actually on CBS. You can watch it, you know, obviously you can just turn on Paramount Plus and watch it. But if you watch on CBS, Jeff did an intro of it, the road to 50. We're going to go through these episodes over the next 10 nights. Here's the first one. And they did an outro of next up, Coach Ben Wade. Like, you know, like, it's clear what they're doing. If you want to highlight the best that this show has to offer, this is it. I mean, Alexa, this was pick 1-1 of our episodes draft. The Martyr Approach coming up next is my favorite episode of all time. Slay Everyone, Trust No One is the best premiere in the history of the show. Like, they know what they're doing. And like, you could go the more nostalgic route of let's do the marooning or let's do something like something with Jerry and Colby. But at the end of the day, like, if you want to say to people, remember why you love this show, you haven't watched in a while. It's the Monday after the Super Bowl. There's nothing on TV. Oh, I just happened to put on the TV and now CBS is on and now I'm watching this. I mean, why are you not watching 50? Oh yeah, Ceri's back. Of course you're going to turn on 50. You're going to at least watch the premiere, even if it's longer than Lord of the Rings movies.
Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced Gummies. That's right. Those are for sleepy time. You know, when you just can't fall asleep, take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALIST with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALIST when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at Mood.com.
And I mean, none of the alliances are going to be as tight as the Black Widow Brigade, but it demonstrates how an alliance can go through a game. So that could be something that happens on 50. An alliance dominates throughout the post-merge. Like, that could be something. So it's showing how an alliance can navigate throughout the game and manipulate someone into doing what they need to do.
Yeah.
I also want to talk a little bit more about the presentation of it on the way we're doing it, because I like that part of the media stuff. Would you guys watch an old season on CBS?
Yes.
One summer? Would you? It's every night. The first episode's going to be in, pick a random. It's Australia. We're going to watch the first episode, first five episodes the first week, second, 6 through 10. Do you think people would? I'm asking seven questions in my head, but I'm asking one in person. So it's like, is this something where it's like, oh, CBS, anytime you don't have anything, just play your old seasons that people crave. And maybe that is 1.7 million people would just be like, I want to be part of watching Survivor as a community again. And I have nothing else to do during the summer. Sure, I'll watch this one. Catch up here. Oh, some of my YouTube people are doing it. And I was on the Reddit today.
Rob Cesternino,
200 people doing Reddit.
Is interviewing Ceree right now. Like, they
don't tell them that while we're live.
Well, I mean, look, you've already given us the $24. You gave us money because you made it 24 minutes in. But like, Rob Cesternino pre-recorded an interview with Ceree that is now talking about this. And I'm sure he has one for all 10 episodes. Like, I'm sure he has Coach tomorrow. He's probably got Colby or Stephanie.
Leave some scraps for us, Rob has.
Yeah, seriously. I know. Rob is greedy. Rob eats at the buffet and he leaves not. He just like dumps the plate into the trash while he's making eye contact with you. It's like, oh, you wanted the egg rolls? Sucks to be you. but it is like there's an excitement here. And I say this all the time. Like, it's like NFL Network, right? You turn on NFL Network today, just because the Super Bowl's over doesn't mean there's nothing on NFL Network. So there's only so much you can talk about. So what do? Let's go play highlights of old Super Bowls. Let's go show an old Super Bowl. Let's go show an old whatever. And on Paramount Plus, they do play Survivor. There's a Survivor channel, air quotes, on Paramount Plus. But like, Survivor's an older crowd. This episode aired in 2008, 18 years ago. You have people who were watching this episode when they were 40 years old that are now 58. They're not going on Paramount Plus. They're looking for something to watch on Monday night in February, where most of the country is absolutely miserable because it's freezing cold and it's dark. And who wants to do it? It's 71 here today, by the way. And so it's like you sit there. Why not do this? I always feel like that should be the case. And I always felt like that was a missed opportunity from CBS and from other shows where like, everybody's always willing to show like reruns of non-scripted, right? Like how many times can you watch The Office? If you're on TBS, The Office on every minute, Family Guy's on every minute, like everything's on. Why is there nowhere that's playing reruns of Survivor? Why not?
I mean, this is kind of what John and I made our show on for Survivor Rewind, is picking a past episode of Survivor and getting to watch that in the light of whatever episode just aired on Survivor, relating them back and forth. And it really is so much fun to go back and watch old Survivor and see some of the crossovers. And so to have that nostalgia of people just turning on Survivor on their TVs again, when it's an iconic episode such as this, I wasn't able to watch it live, but if I would have been able to watch it live today, it would have been so cool to watch one of my favorite players and a great season with a live episode.
Yeah, it's fun. It's different. As Chrissy G here says, I just rewatched season 16, episode 13 on Paramount as if I was preparing for this live stream. I mean, yeah, it's fun. Ace Gordon asked this question. Do you think the 10 episode selections have any bearing on what may happen on 50? Now, here's what I'm going to say. I want to say this. If it is, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, well, Cerie's definitely in the final five. They wouldn't have shown this otherwise. Here's the one thing I will say. You're doing the 10 highlighting episodes of Survivor. This one makes sense. Martyr Approach makes sense. Slay Everyone, Trust No One makes sense. You might say the finale of South Pacific doesn't make sense, but really better shows off Ozzy, right? Like Ozzy wins the challenges. Ozzy gets in, coach in a final tribal. Like that's a good one. Maybe it starts to get a little weird with like awkward with Devins and a couple of those, the Heroes, Healers, Hustlers episode. But at the same time, it's like, those are good, big episodes. And like Devins is a big star. You're going to do Jacket and Eggs because it's Angelina. Like you got to think about who are the biggest stars coming into this. I actually feel like they did a pretty good balance. And I feel like they have a, you know, obviously they're going to do they're going to do Icarus time because Joe, Kyle, and Camilla are all impactful in that episode.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I feel like the episodes I don't think they're telling us anything. I think it's just more of how can we highlight as many of these 24 people as possible and show the best episodes from those eras. And I think they did a good job of showing the best episodes of the seasons they wanted to highlight.
Sure. I do think there's some stuff where I don't know if we're going to be watching. There's 10 episodes. I don't know if we're going to be watching some of these episodes as enthusiastically and like, oh, they should have brought Mitch to 50 and Shaheed. Why didn't they make 50? Like we're doing our nostalgia moment for this episode that we watched tonight. I always have to punch down on them, but it is I think Coach having three, I think you could read into that if you want to, but people are going to watch the real episodes. They don't have to watch these 10 episodes don't do anything for the story of the game.
No.
I mean, Coach having three could be he lasts long or they want to get as much Coach out of him because he goes early. Like there's both sides to every story.
I love that theory. And also you have to think, are they really not going to show the premiere of Heroes Villains that has Colby, Stephanie, Cerie, Coach, like
Parvati?
Well, Parvati's not on this season, believe it or not, McKenna. Like you're going to show that episode. It just makes sense. And it's an iconic intro. Loyalties will be broken, like I said. And then they go to Heroes, Healers, Hustlers. And it's like, well, we want to show off Chrissy. Okay, yeah, Chrissy hasn't been on in a while. We want to show off Mike, Angelina, and Christian. Okay, they haven't been on in a while. We want to show off Devins. Like, it makes sense. Dee and Emily both being on 45. They picked an episode with both of them. Oh, Hugh's episode for Hide and Seek. Obviously,
he's on 50?
Shut up. Jeez. And then Joe, Camilla, and Kyle. Go. I think it makes sense. I do think it makes sense. And like when we were doing the defining episodes, McKenna, we were talking about Jonathan Young doesn't really have a defining episode because his defining episode is carrying the ladder, but he doesn't get a confessional in that episode. So it makes sense that they're not showing that. And it also makes sense they're not showing the Joe and Eva.
42, no defining episode.
No, there's none. And it makes sense they don't have the Joe and Eva episode because Eva's not on the season.
Yeah. If Eva was on the season, that would make the most sense.
We need Aubrey's Ko Rong episode.
Isn't she'll be in the episode of Edge of Extinction?
Is it pre?
Well, things
she's Ko chilling Rong on the Edge of Extinction, McKenna.
Oh, that's right. That's
who's
true.
In jail, Daryl. Shaheen should have been on 50 over Joe. Yeah, you are in jail for that, Daryl. Yeah, I think they did a pretty good job picking. Honestly,
another thing, there's 40 people live now. It's up to 50. This is fun to like get the race. What is it? Not racetrack. It's the runway to get excited. And like,
I call it the road to 50.
The road. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess we called it road, but I'm saying runway.
CBS called it road.
It's just something where I guess it's not that we're doing kudos for them. It's like we picked defining episodes 8 months ago, and like, this is the production company doing some stuff.
I don't know. Podcast 100%, and we're just they hit the nail on the head with a bunch of these.
And I don't know if everybody is like, oh, I'm still as gung-ho to go find my state's idol after watching them a couple times, but it is like, we're in it. This is 50. Does this feel like it's going to be the biggest season ever? Does it feel like we're celebrating something? And I think if I had watched it like this, it doesn't come on in LA for another hour and a half. If I watched it and it's like, here's the black box square with the black boxes on the sides, like, because it's standard def, it is kind of like, oh.
And it is the only standard def episode they're doing, which I think is telling that, like, we didn't get the Criterion Collection to go through and update all these, so please get it out of here. Yeah, John says it, the only one. I think that that is also maybe part of the reason they don't want to do, like, 4 weeks of non-HD episodes.
You could splice it in between.
Sure.
Yeah, do it in order, get Jeff in the freaking humidor doing that stuff.
Yeah. No, I think this is fun. Like you said, Blake, I mean, we have that many people watching live. I was honestly surprised. I mean, this is one of those things, which if you are listening this far, please like the video. Please like the video. Please like the video. It always helps. People don't do it, Blake. We end up with like 100 people watching live.
And then oh,
we
get like my 20, God.
20 likes.
Don't like the video.
Like the video so that we can keep moving forward, so that we keep building up this audience that, you know, Blake will do more podcasts instead of always having an excuse. But, you know, watching this, it is fun. And like when we were talking about doing all these episodes, I was like, well, I don't know. Like, how many people are really going to care? The answer 40. Is a good amount. Like, but like, no, like there's, I mean, then you have Rob doing it with Saria. I mean, if he wasn't doing that, we'd be at 150, no doubt. But it's just like the people who love Survivor, what more could you want for in the 10-day buildup to season 50? Like, there's nothing more. And so why would you not do this?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you not do that? So, yeah, that's how I feel. But I feel like the other thing I will say is, you know, there's going to be some episodes that I'm definitely less interested to rewatch, but I am excited to see kind of like, what did they do with the 30s? Because that's obviously the biggest batch. And we did Jacket and Eggs not too long ago. If you want to listen to that episode, I actually think we did that for Angelina. No, it's Mike White's defining.
Mike White's. So, which is interesting because it's an Angelina centric. You think it's an Angelina centric, but Mike has a lot to do with that episode as well.
Yeah, he's the power position there. So, yeah, we already covered that one, but we're going to be covering it again, kind of, you know, looking at what are they highlighting? What's going on in this? And yeah, I mean, it's fun. Why would you not want to be watching? So, yeah. McKenna and I are doing the Australian Survivor cast assessment immediately
based on vibes.
Yeah, we're going immediately after this based on vibes. We got to start our Australian Survivor coverage. They're so weird putting out the stuff. I don't even know what to call it. Like, they don't
teaser videos. Like, we still don't know a schedule, and it starts in 2 weeks.
So we're gonna be doing that, and like I said, so that's right after this. Tomorrow, Blake, Will, and I are gonna be doing the Survivor 50 fantasy draft. Will has also promised that we are doing Riz God. Everything you need to know about tomorrow. And we're going to be doing the martyr approach at 9 o'clock. So big night tomorrow. On Wednesday night, hot takes will be at 9, and then we will do slay everyone, trust no one. Somebody's going to jump. I'll probably make Blake do it because Blake has no life. We're going to jump on immediately after that, and we're going to talk about slay everyone, trust no one. So that'll be fun. And then on Thursday, we got traitors, episode 9. And guess what else we're doing after the traitors? We're going to be doing the South Pacific finale. So, like, we're rolling. McKenna,
I won't be here on Thursday.
No, I don't blame you. McKenna's excited for that one, so we're good there.
Always excited for South Pacific.
On Friday night, McKenna and John are doing 31 to 40. Will, I think, is joining them on that one. And then guess what we're doing after that? The Heroes and the Hustlers episode. So, look, it's a lot of podcasts, but it's fun. Like, this is the time to be enjoying Survivor. And, you know, I really do feel, for as much crap as we give CBS, we'll give production about some of the stuff that we're like, you could have done this better. Jeff now saying that live reunions aren't worth it and we don't need live reunions anymore because you can get the same thing from a finale live after show. Yeah, hopefully that opinion changes. I feel like right now, since like, the last season ended, the hype has been there from the trailer with the Billy Joe Armstrong Heroes, the TV Guide magazine that does say that Todd wins 4-3 in a final two, but that's okay. Like, this magazine is fun. There's so much stuff in here and the little tidbits and what they decide.
Show us Angelina with Genevieve's name or something.
That one was bad. Here it is. That's Angelina, and it says Genevieve Mushalak. Right. I know you can't really see it on there, but it says it. But like, again, okay, I could nitpick TV Guide and be like, what's up with your typos, blah blah blah, but it's like, this is fun. Doing these episodes is fun. All of this stuff is fun. And so I'm happy that we're able to have fun with it right now, because who knows what it's going to look like next. I mean, Matt Van Wagenen said he looks at this like the NFL, where it's when's the NFL going to end? Survivor's never going to end either. Like, it doesn't matter. And I know Dalton Ross.
Survivor is indie.
Dalton Ross asked a bunch of people, do you think that, I mean, yeah. Dalton Ross asked a bunch of people, do you think that the show can go on without Jeff? And the answer is yes. Like, the show can go on without Jeff, and I think it's going to. And Blake sits over here and roots and cheers for Survivor to end, but then he's calling me the first of every month. Where's my paycheck, Phil? What's going on?
No, I never said that.
Yeah. No. So, yeah. Let's see if Blake really wants Survivor to end. But I'm into this. I love it. You're going to hear from us. You're going to hear from me, at least, every single night for the next 2 weeks, except for Saturday and Sunday of this week. And then I already have my first guest scheduled for predictions and power rankings. Exciting. That's very fun.
Who is it?
Not telling you. You guys have to wait and see, but it's a good one. I'm excited. And like, yeah, like it's here. This is legit. This is so much fun. And I'm glad all of you are listening, and I really appreciate it. And what's funny, Ryan Chan says, LOL, Todd winning 4-3, who got cut, Courtney and Amanda. In the description, it says he beats both Courtney and Amanda, but in the numbers, it just says 4-3. Ah. So, but it was actually what, 4-2-1? Cause it's a final. Anyway, look, whatever. This is good. I'm enjoying myself. Blake, what do you want to say before we let you go to bed? And then me and McKenna go talk for an hour and a half about people that we know nothing about.
Jeff.
Right there. There he is.
If you want your TV show to be a hallmark in television history, you have to put in the work and the money to make it the best possible product.
I mean, it's hallmark of television. It's 50th season, Blake. What are you talking about? But I do get what you're saying. The live reunion should be here to stay. I'm just saying. It's better for the fans. It's better for the cast. The only thing it's not better for is the bottom line.
What I also loved about this episode is that the reward challenge was also a celebration of Survivor, because it was Survivor trivia too. And I'm like, this is such a simple challenge that they could bring into 50, because you have those super fans in it too. And so it just worked out really well that this is an amazing episode. Plus, like, the challenge was also celebrating those seasons up till that point too.
I appreciate you bringing that up, because yeah, Kathy Vavrick O'Brien and John Carroll get in there, Hatch getting bit by the shark, Rupert with the snake. Yeah, they ask a question about what season's the first one with four tribes while Sari is still in the game.
Yeah, and Parvati and Amanda both go Cook Island.
And it also showed Natalie Bolton had never watched an episode of Survivor, because she had no idea what any of those
Eric is a true
were.
Fan of Survivor.
Yeah, because the only one he got wrong was Hatch, but he thought it was season one that he bit the shark, not season eight, which is understandable. So yeah, I agree. That was really fun. And that might actually play into it, why they showed it. Because it's like, remember these moments? Look, if the reaction to this stuff is good, maybe we will see John Carroll back on TV eventually, huh? Maybe that'll happen. Maybe we will get Natalie Bolton back. Maybe James and Amanda aren't gone. Like, maybe there's a shot here. So I don't know. Let's see. We have who is this? There was a good comment and then I lost it. Oh, St. Clippo. Isn't it like 6:43 in Blake Land going to bed? Really?
Yeah, I moved my whole setup to Japan. So
yeah, it's 6:43 p.m. What are you talking about? Anyway, all right. Yeah, he moved his open closet door to Japan. Don't worry, he still hasn't closed it. He's gonna go to like move.
That's
out
actually
of that
a
place.
Virtual backdrop.
Yeah,
he took a photo of it before he left.
Move out of that place, and they're gonna be like, "Dude, the door doesn't work." And he's like, "Yeah, I know." That's it.
I'm not getting my deposit back. All right.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. We will see you tomorrow night at 9 o'clock with the Martyr Approach. We'll also see you at 9:45 with our Survivor 50 draft. If you want to participate in the Survivor 50 fantasy game, become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. For that, you can participate in the fantasy game and the power rankings game, both for top tier patrons. So that's awesome. Ben Swag became a big fan of this podcast. Of good stuff you guys do. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Love it. Love the new people who are listening. And appreciate you all tuning into this episode. McKenna and I are live immediately after this. No bathroom breaks. We said 9:45. That's it. We start on time. So thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.
See ya.